We're continuing Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Harry had been held back in potions, where Snape had made him stay behind to scrub tubeworms off the desks. After a hurried lunch, he went upstairs to meet Ron in the library, and saw Justin Filch Fletley, the Hufflepuff boy from Herbology, coming toward him. Harry had just opened his mouth to say hello when Justin caught sight of him, turned abruptly, and sped off in the opposite direction. Harry found Ron at the back of the library, measuring his History of Magic homework. Professor Binns had asked for a 3-foot-long composition on the medieval assembly of European wizards. "I don't believe it. I'm still 8 inches short," said Ron furiously, letting go of his parchment, which sprang back into a roll. "And Hermione's done 4 feet 7 inches, and her writing's tiny." "Where is she?" asked Harry, grabbing the tape measure and unrolling his own homework. "Somewhere over there," said Ron, pointing toward the shelves, "looking for another book. I think she's trying to read the whole library before Christmas." Harry told Ron about Justin Filch Fletley running away from him. "I don't know why you care. I thought he was a bit of an idiot," said Ron, scribbling away, making his writing as large as possible. "All that junk about Lockhart being so great." Hermione emerged from between the bookshelves. She looked irritable and at last seemed ready to talk to them. "All of the copies of Hogwarts: A History have been taken out," she said, sitting down next to Harry and Ron. "And there's a 2-week waiting list. I wish I hadn't left my copy at home, but I couldn't fit it in my trunk with all the Lockhart books." "What do you want it?" said Harry. "The same reason everyone else wants it," said Hermione, "to read up on the Chamber of Secrets." "What's that?" said Harry quickly. "That's just it. I can't remember," said Hermione, biting her lip. "And I can't find the story anywhere else." "Hermione, let me read your composition," said Ron desperately, checking his watch. "No, I won't," said Hermione, suddenly severe. "You've had 10 days to finish it." "I only need another 2 inches. Come on." They're really setting this up on a tee. The bell rang. Ron and Hermione led the way to History of Magic, bickering. History of Magic was the dullest subject on their schedule. Professor Binns, who taught it, was their only ghost teacher, and the most exciting thing that ever happened in his classes was his entering the room through the blackboard. Ancient and shriveled, many people said he hadn't noticed he was dead. Now that, my lovely lady, is a dangling participle. It's not the people that are ancient and shriveled, it's Professor Binns. Poor J.K. Rowling. Poor J.K. Rowling with her millions of dollars.
Sorry.
What's that?
Just read.
Okay, I'm reading. I just have to make fun sometimes. He had simply got up to teach one day and left his body behind in an armchair in front of the staff room fire. His routine had not varied in the slightest since. Today was as boring as ever. Professor Binns opened his notes and began to read in a flat drone like an old vacuum cleaner until nearly everyone in the class was in a deep stupor, occasionally coming to long enough to copy down a name or a date and then falling asleep again. He'd been speaking for half an hour when something happened that had never happened before. Hermione put up her hand. Professor Binns, glancing up in the middle of a deadly dull lecture on the International Warlock Convention of 1289, looked amazed. "Granger, Professor, I was wondering if you could tell us anything about the Chamber of Secrets," said Hermione in a clear voice. Dean Thomas, who had been sitting with his mouth hanging open, gazing out of the window, jerked out of his trance. Lavender Brown's head came up off her arms, and Neville Longbottom's elbow slipped off his desk. Professor Binns blinked. "My subject is the history of magic," he said in his dry, wheezy voice. "I deal with facts, Miss Granger, not myths and legends." What do you think of that voice?
Good.
Yeah. He cleared his throat with a small noise like a chalk snapping and continued.
"In September of that year, a subcommittee of Sardanian sorcerers..."
He stuttered to a halt. Hermione's hand was waving in the air again.
"Miss Grant?"
"Please, sir, don't legends always have a basis in fact?" Professor Binns was looking at her in such amazement. Harry was sure no student had ever interrupted him before, alive or dead.
"Well," said Professor Binns slowly, "yes, one could argue that, I suppose."
He peered at Hermione, as though he had never seen a student properly before.
"However, the legend of which you speak is such a very sensational, even ludicrous tale."
But the whole class was now hanging on Professor Binns' every word. He looked dimly at them all, every face turned to his. Harry could tell he was completely thrown off by such an unusual show of interest.
"Oh, very well," he said slowly. "Let me see. Chamber of Secrets. You all know, of course, that Hogwarts was founded over 1,000 years ago. The precise date is uncertain. By the 4 great witches and wizards of the age. The 4 houses named after them. Godric Gryffindor, Helga Hufflepuff, Rowena Ravenclaw, and Salazar Slytherin. They built this castle together, far from prying Muggle eyes, for it was an age when magic was feared by common people, and witches and wizards suffered much persecution."
He paused, gazed blearily around the room, and continued.
"For a few years, the founders worked in harmony together, seeking out youngsters who showed signs of magic and bringing them to the castle to be educated. But then disagreements sprang up between them. A rift began to grow between Slytherin and the others. Slytherin wished to be more selective than about the students admitted to Hogwarts. He believed that magical learning should be kept within all magical families. He disliked taking students of Muggle parentage, believing them to be untrustworthy. After a while, there was a serious argument on the subject between Slytherin and Gryffindor, and Slytherin left the school."
Professor Binns paused again, pursing his lips, looking like a wrinkled old tortoise.
"Reliable historical sources tell us this much," he said. "But these honest facts have been obscured by the fanciful legend of the Chamber of Secrets. The story goes that Slytherin had built a hidden chamber in the castle of which the other founders knew nothing. Slytherin, according to the legend, sealed the Chamber of Secrets so that none would be able to open it until his own true heir arrived at the school. The heir alone would be able to unseal the chamber, unleash the horror within, and use it to purge the school of all who were unworthy to study magic."
There was silence as he finished telling the story, but it wasn't the usual sleepy silence that filled Professor Binns' classes. There was unease in the air as everyone continued to watch him, hoping for more. Professor Binns looked faintly annoyed.
"The whole thing is arrant nonsense, of course," he said. "Naturally, the school has been searched for evidence of such a chamber many times by the most learned witches and wizards. It does not exist. A tale told to frighten the gullible."
Hermione's hand was back in the air. "Sir, what exactly do you mean by the horror within the chamber?"
"That is believed to be some sort of monster which the heir of Slytherin alone can control," said Binns in his dry, reedy voice.
The class exchanged nervous looks.
"I tell you, the thing does not exist," said Professor Binns, shuffling his notes. "There is no chamber and no monster."
"But, sir," said Seamus Finnegan, "if the chamber can only be opened by Slytherin's true heir, no one else would be able to find it, would they?"
"Nonsense, O'Flaherty," said Professor Binns in an aggravated tone. "If a long succession of Hogwarts headmasters and headmistresses hadn't found the thing..."
"But, Professor," piped up Parvati Patil, "you'd probably have to use dark magic to open it."
"Just because a wizard doesn't use dark magic doesn't mean he can't, Miss Pennyfeather," snapped Professor Binns. "I repeat, if the likes of Dumbledore..."
"Maybe you've got to be related to Slytherin, so Dumbledore couldn't," began Dean Thomas, but Professor Binns had had enough.
"That will do," he said sharply. "It is a myth. It does not exist. There's not a shred of evidence that Slytherin ever built so much as a secret broom cupboard. I regret telling you such a foolish story. Will you return, if you please, to history, to solid, believable, verifiable fact?"
and within 5 minutes, the class had sunk back into its usual torpor. And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that, my sweet kitten boo. And that you're all snuggled in with your taco and your lily. And maybe even already dreaming about wonderful things like tacos and lilies. I love you, beautiful girl. Sleep well.